Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
We're talking about your mental health, It's my favorite topic.
I feel like you should be doing jazz fingers over there right
now.
Oh,
I could.
Yeah.
I could sort of do them. I only have one good working hand.
That's right. Oh, man.
Oh, that's funny. How are you at managing stress?
I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good.
I do feel like you're pretty good.
My only struggle is that when I have a lot going on and something stressful happens, I tend to not put all those other things on pause so that I can manage it. I just say, I'm going to manage it when those things are done. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. That sounds like you 100%.
Yeah.
I'll do this when.
Yeah. When it suits me.
Right.
Yeah.
I am trying to think of how I handle stress. Not well. I know this about myself. And I do the opposite. I shut down everything.
Oh, okay.
Like I get overwhelmed very easily. So instead of plowing through like you do, like I'll take care of this then, I tend to like be like, what can I take off my plate immediately so that I don't feel overwhelmed and even more stressed?
Yeah.
That's my coping mechanism, which maybe that is doing good things.
I feel like that's good. That's actually like a good way to do it. I will say recently as a family, we have been a lot better at being like, we're all feeling overwhelmed. It's okay if we don't go to this commitment or if we don't go to that, which for me hurts my soul because I am a shower upper.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say I'm going to show up, I show up no matter what.
Yeah. You and I both have like get really irritated when people commit and then no show.
Yes. But some things are outside of your control.
Well, you know? And I mean, it's almost a healthy boundary, right? Mm-hmm. When you know this isn't good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't mind. Like, I would have mad respect for somebody that contacted me and was like, hey, I know I committed to this, but I'm just really struggling right now. And I just don't feel like I can, you know, do this any longer without it impacting me negatively.
Yeah.
I'd have way more respect for that than just
fly
by the seat of my pants.
Or just like never showing up.
Never showing up.
Overcommitting all the time and never seeing a pattern.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, no, we see those people all the time. That's a certain kind of person that does that. And it is a chronic condition. I'm going to diagnose you. That's a chronic condition.
That's an overdoeritis.
Mm-hmm. So today we're going to talk about how stress impacts the body and cancer progression.
Then we're going to talk about effective techniques like mindfulness, meditation, and cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yes, ma'am.
CBT.
Yep. And finally, how to build resilience through coping strategies.
Before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our waitlist, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp.
We're back. Let's talk about the effect that stress has on cancer progression. I mean, I don't think it's limited to cancer. You know, it's not helpful to any medical.
I think it impacts your inflammation and impacts your mental health. And it, I mean, it, so many things.
Yeah. So we talked about that in our previous inflammation episode. Mm-hmm. When it's acute, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It can even be motivating. But mm-hmm. when it becomes chronic, it becomes a problem. And I think we live in a society now where we're dealing with chronic issues all the time. Mm-hmm. So how it affects the body, it basically produces hormones like cortisol, which can be okay, but it if it's chronic, it impairs your immune function, it promotes inflammation. And obviously, this is important because a strong immune system plays a major role in fighting cancer and keeping it from progressing.
Right. Yeah.
So
I feel like you almost have to take like a take stock, because I think sometimes when we have lived in chronic stress so long, it feels like our norm and our baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until you hit your breaking point and then you're like, oh, wait, I have been living with stress. And then you take everything off your plate and then you're like, oh, this is what it feels like to not be living at my baseline. So then you have to find a new baseline.
We've talked about it, too, that women in particular take pride in how stressed out they are.
Yes.
They brag about how busy they are. They brag about juggling all the balls and being able to plow through. It's like a source of, you know, pride for them. Mm-hmm. And until you get sick.
Yeah.
you said, and then you realize, wow, this hasn't been serving me.
Yes.
You know, and it's hard for me to admit that I don't handle stress well, because that feels like a weakness, and I don't like admitting weakness in anything. Mm-hmm. But just being able to acknowledge the fact that stress affects me in a very profound way, and if I don't handle it, it just invades every aspect of my life. There's power in knowing that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So research has actually shown that stress can worsen cancer outcomes. So higher levels of chronic stress are linked to an increased risk of cancer recurrence and poorer survival rates, because it weakens the body's natural defense mechanisms and it causes inflammation, creating a more favorable environment for your cancer cells to grow. I think the interesting part about that is that cancer patients, after they get done with treatment, often live with this fear of recurrence, which causes them stress. Or if their cancer recurs and now they're living with cancer, they have chronic stress related to that reality. Mm-hmm. So how do you manage something that's not going away?
I mean, it takes a lot of intentionality, a lot of daily work, and a lot of working through the different stages of acceptance.
Yeah. I think you have to really kind of build this self-treatment plan. I always think of Debbie, who's one of our stage four thrivers. Mm-hmm. I think she's been living with stage four cancer now like 30 years. Mm-hmm. And she was diagnosed in her 40s when her son was real little. Mm-hmm. She credits her girlfriends with helping her thrive. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that's because they lower her stress. Yeah. Right. Like they're her support team. That's who she goes to when she's feeling worried or anxious, or she needs a lift, or she doesn't want to think about cancer. Like her girlfriends are that for her.
Yeah.
I think it's all about what is going to help you manage that stress and be your safe space. We talk about that a lot in the boot camp. We're designed to identify threats, but we're also designed to find places of safety. Mm-hmm. And we don't often think that way. Mm-hmm. So start thinking to yourself, okay, when I feel stressed, what are my areas of safety? Who can I go to? What supports can I enlist? Mm-hmm. What can I do?
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of those techniques for managing stress. Some of them are going to be like, oh gosh, are we talking about this again? We are, because you might have heard about it a million times and yet you're still not doing it.
Oh, can I read the definition of the first one? Because this is like my most favorite thing in the world. Okay, so this is a thing you're going to roll your eyes at, but mindfulness, I feel like it's such a buzzword. But mindfulness involves paying attention to the present moment without judgment. Okay, so let me break this down, because this feels like something very clinical that you've got to be in optimum conditions to do. But honestly, it could be driving and noticing the way that your tires are on the pavement, or it could be you brushing your teeth and feeling the vibrations of the toothbrush in your hand, or it's closing your eyes and sitting outside and listening to the birds. And other things could be happening around you, can be doing other things, but it's just really honing in on a sense, understanding like where you are in the present moment and anchoring yourself to that present moment and not thinking, oh, these birds make me feel really anxious because they're chirpy, like, ah, 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 or like, oh, that toothbrush is like making my tooth hurt. And, oh, you know, like not having any judgment to it. You're just noticing.
And that reduces your anxiety and promotes emotional regulation, which lowers your stress. I think
because you're not thinking about something that's stressing you out after you brush your teeth, or you're not thinking about something that's in the future. That was the past and the future mixed together.
Yeah, the future.
No. You're not thinking about something that happened before, and you're not thinking about something that's going to happen in the future. You're just thinking 100% about what's happening right now.
Which I think is a silver lining when you go through cancer treatment, because I had never felt more present in my life than when I was going through all the cancer treatments, because I didn't care about the things I cared about before. And I wasn't thinking about going, you know, back to work or what my future was going to look like. I was only concerned about that day, that moment.
Yeah.
And I actually missed it when I got back to the routine of life and things picked up like they were before. I missed how mindful I was of the small pleasures and joys that came from everyday things.
Yeah, because you have gratitude for a day that you feel good, or you've got gratitude for the day that you feel well enough to take your kids to school, or to sit down and have a family dinner because you finally feel like eating.
Or to read a chapter in a book.
Yeah, you and be able to stay awake. Yeah.
Right. So there's different mindfulness exercises you can try. Mindful breathing. Oh, gosh, breath work is really, really soothing for me. Mm-hmm. I love breath work. You're more of a sound person, right?
No.
You like breath work better?
I mean, I do all of it.
You do all of it.
When I'm not feeling grounded in the moment, sometimes I just sit in my car before I get out someplace. Maybe I'm anxious about what I'm about to get out of my car and go do, or I don't even have to be anxious. I could just be like feeling very rushed. And if I just sit and take three slow breaths, or even if my kids are in the back losing their mind, I will sometimes just breathe at a stoplight. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I keep my eyes open. but it's... The world could be in chaos around you, and if you just anchor to your breath, like, then you become more in tuned, not worried about what's happening with the fight in between your kids, or worried about traffic, or worried about, you know, you're just...
You can literally feel your immune system relaxing.
Totally. And your whole body just... Man, I mean, I just get like calm just thinking about doing it.
I agree. And you will get to that point where just thinking about doing the action will bring a sense of calm, which is where we want to take you people.
Yeah.
So if you take a deep breath in for a count of four, hold it for four, and exhale for a count of four, that's the easiest one, I feel like. And you've said this before, but it's like a box.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You just go around the edges of a box, and that's how you know what you're doing. How do you feel about body scans? I don't love this one.
It depends. When I am going to sleep and I've had nights where I feel really like agity, like I feel like I need to get up and do something and my brain is active, or I feel like I feel this way on nights when I didn't get enough exercise during the day, or if I did a lot of sitting and working at a computer, sometimes my body just needs to get the energy out. So I'll like clench your fists and then I relax, or then I'll like clench my shoulders and then I relax. Like, and I feel like that's a form of a body scan because I'm going through my body, each part, I'm thinking about it, and then I'm like clenching it, or maybe I'm just like fidgeting it and then I relax it. Mm-hmm. And it just does something to your senses.
I could see this being the case too. One of our members, Melanie, what does she do? She is it Tai Chi?
No. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what she does? Tai Chi?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen Tai Chi? Tai Chi to me is a mindfulness practice.
Yeah.
Because you're in your body, you're doing these really slow, methodical movements. It's kind of like all about cleansing out that energy that you're feeling, that pent up energy. And so there's all different kinds of ways that you can, you know,
so
practice mindfulness. Obviously, yoga, you know, incorporates a lot of mindfulness, but it's a worthwhile pursuit, I think. So let's talk about meditation.
So meditation is another great way to manage your stress. And I feel like meditation could look different for everybody. So I imagine meditation for you is like being quiet in prayer. Mm-hmm. That can be a meditation. There are tons of guided meditation apps out there, and there's ones for sleeping, and there's ones for, there's ones for everything. Anxiety, money struggles. I mean, anything that you can think of. I know my daughter likes to put on meditation music for anxiety before bed. She just found this channel on
I will let Charlotte listen to her Alexa. I'll put 15 minutes of meditation music on, but I won't let her listen to anything with words.
No, nothing. Yeah. It's nothing with words. Yeah. And I think it just is a way for them to like focus on something besides their thoughts before they go to bed, and it helps guide you into sleep. But then there's also breathing meditations, and there's guided breathing meditations out there too on apps. And this is where you mix sort of breath work with meditation, which can be really powerful because your brain sort of opens up to the possibility of suggestion in those moments.
And it lowers your cortisol level and it helps you sleep. So we have a lot of women that complain about not having good sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's chemical, right? Mm-hmm. there's hormone suppression going on that can mm-hmm. kind of affect your sleep. But I also think that we're worriers mm-hmm. and our minds are always racing.
Worriers, not warriors.
Yeah. Warriors. Yeah. Warriors.
Warriors.
And so, you know, if you're one of those people that struggle with sleep, this would be a good time to incorporate that into your bedtime routine.
Yep. Then there's cognitive behavioral therapy. So this is the therapeutic approach. So seeing a therapist, talking about
unhelpful thoughts, really.
Yeah.
Right. Really. Changing. Yeah. It's really about reframing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to make it through this treatment, mm-hmm. you know, or cancer is going to take over my life mm-hmm. and replacing them with more balanced thoughts, such as I'm doing everything I can to fight this, or I can manage everything that comes my way.
And this is where affirmations come in. And you're a big cheerleader for affirmations.
I've become a big cheerleader for affirmations because I think I heard once that 70% of what you hear growing up was parents telling you, these are good parents, but parents telling you what you can't do. Mm-hmm. And so those wire your brain, right, subconsciously mm-hmm. for all the things that you can't do in life. And mm-hmm. so positive affirmations are just really a way to rewire your brain for positivity and to say, no, you can do this. Mm-hmm. There's an app called Self-Talk. It's this guy. I don't think he's even with us anymore, but it feels a little corny at first, right? Mm-hmm. To listen to positive self-talk. It's mm-hmm. it's like one of those scenes out of a movie where you're in the car and you're like, I take care of myself because I find value in myself. You know, like it's just goofy.
Yeah.
And when I first played it for my husband, he's like, are you serious? But it's really repetition mm-hmm. is what changes those neural pathways. Mm-hmm. It's what gets you from a negative thought pattern into a positive thought pattern. Mm-hmm. And you have to do it over and over again mm-hmm. because you are combating, for me, 42 years of subliminal messages telling you what you can't do in life. And cancer has this way of just being like, oh, doom and gloom, right? Mm-hmm. This is the way it's going to go down. I know I'm going to be one of these people that has this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
You know, so much of that is your mindset. And so you need to really make sure that you're intentional. And so, yeah, positive self-talk is a form of cognitive behavioral therapy that I'm a big fan of.
And when you say things out loud, whether you believe it or not, your subconscious starts to embody it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you are. It's kind of like that whole you are what you eat, right? You are what you talk about. Mm-hmm. You are who you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. That's why we're always telling women, you know, cancer has a way about it to where you start identifying what's not serving you and mm-hmm. you tend to shed habits, people, mm-hmm. you know, things that aren't serving you anymore.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. So I want to talk about building resilience and coping strategies in more detail. But before we do that, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Indeed.
Okay. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News!
Lay it on me.
All right. The title of this one is The Weird Reason a Huge Skyscraper Has Been Built in the Middle of a Forest. All right. I'm going to show you the picture of this. Look at that.
Is that a cell tower?
Okay. This makes me mad. I had a visceral reaction to this. And I want to know.
Oh,
boy. Well, I mean, it's not a big deal, but I'm just like, why? A skyscraper almost as tall as London's Shard has been built in the middle of a forest. The huge twisting tower, and it looks like a twisted pretzel, like one of the skinny ones.
A large white twisted pretzel.
Yeah. It's been constructed in the middle of a forest in southwest Germany. Okay. So set against quaint surroundings near the medieval town of Rottweil, the futuristic concrete structure looks like something out of a sci-fi film. Instead of containing ultra-modern apartments, the 807-foot skyscraper is used to test lifts.
What is that? Lifts?
Okay.
Like elevators?
Yes. Huh. The TK elevator has 12 shafts used to test different elevator systems.
Oh.
Why? Why would you build something that hideous that has that function?
Why wouldn't you just test it in a building that's already built?
Why put it in a beautiful forest?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why would you do that? Nobody's going to be visiting it. It's hideous. Look at that.
Yeah, that is weird.
That makes me sad. All of our environmentalists right now are just like shedding a tear. Okay, so it says, while the futuristic tower is in sharp contrast with the surrounding countryside. You think? It has found
There's other buildings down low. It's like not like trees butted up right against it.
It has found its place within the community and has become a popular tourist attraction.
Why?
Visitors flocking to the medieval town, which was once part of the Swiss Confederacy, can even enter parts of the facility. If I go to Germany, you think I'm going to be like...
I'm not going to go get on an elevator that they're testing.
I want to go to the elevator testing facility.
Yeah. People go to funny things.
Okay, look at this cute, beautiful, little quaint town with that in the background.
Oh, that is sad.
That, you guys, if you saw this, it has the most adorable little town. And like it literally says town. It's a stone's throw away from this historical town. Okay, so they have this beautiful little town and this hideous concrete structure in the back used to test the elevators.
Yeah.
Whoever thought of that should be shot.
How many floors was it?
Four? It's 807 feet.
Oh, I don't know how tall that is. That's sad. Take a breath.
I know. I need to do my breath.
It's not in this country. Is it the company that decided to build it there?
It's the developer who put money over aesthetics. That's who needs to be like held accountable for this. That is, you want your claim to fame to be an elevator shaft that has literally ruined the aesthetics of the town. I applaud the writer of this article though, because you can tell they got paid by the
elevator people.
The elevator people, like, hey, write this article about how it really enhances the town.
Yeah.
Bull. You know what?
They're like, ooh, this is a struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to put lipstick on a pig, people.
Oh, boy.
All right, now I'm done.
Can't polish a turd.
Nope, can't polish that turd. There's your bibs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
All right. Let's talk about building resilience and coping strategies. So, resilience really doesn't mean ignoring the hard stuff. It just means adapting, recovering, mm-hmm. learning from difficult situations. How much of cancer and life in general is just lesson learning?
Well, you're talking, you and I are both lesson seekers. So mm-hmm. for me, I feel like everything is a lesson.
Anytime things aren't going my way, I'm asking God, what's the lesson in
what's
this?
What's the lesson?
What am I supposed to be learning from this?
Yep.
How is this designed to help me in the future? Mm-hmm. Shed some light, please.
Yeah.
So resilience is really just about acknowledging your emotions, because we say it at Faith Through Fire all the time. You cannot heal if you do not feel.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to focus on what you can control.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about embracing your inner strength and surrounding yourself with people who can support you. And I think, I talked about Debbie earlier. She realized that, right? That support system's so key. You got to find your people and stick around like-minded individuals that are going to support your goals.
Yeah. How can you make your environment to be optimal for promoting your resilience is basically how I see that.
Yeah. So let's talk about strategies to help you build resilience and cope better with emotional challenges.
Building a support system. So talking to your friends, shedding the friends that are not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Family members, even like putting in boundaries for the family members who don't support you, having a counselor, and then just in general looking for people who support you and lift you up.
Yeah.
And if that means that your work environment is toxic too,
get out of these toxic work environments. Yes. Ladies, I cannot tell you how many times a day I talk to somebody that's in a toxic work environment and they just keep going back for more.
Yeah.
I get it, the money is important, right? You need it to support your family, but you've been talking about that toxic work environment now for 5 years. You could have already been, off in another job
direction.
Four years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Set realistic goals. Don't overwhelm yourself. Focus on what you can do today. It's as simple as get out of bed, go for a walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Engage in hobbies. So this is something that you enjoy, like if it's painting or if it's reading or maybe it's running or weightlifting, gardening, anything that sort of distracts you from cancer related stress or just stress from your work or whatever feeds your soul that doesn't drain your soul.
And there's a lot of people that I come across that don't have hobbies. That is a pursuit in itself.
Yeah.
Start trying things. Step outside your comfort zone. Put yourself in situations that maybe make you feel a little bit anxious or uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's out there,
And make sure your hobbies are not something that are soul draining. Like, you don't want your hobbies to be like drinking excessively.
I mean, I get it, guys. It works in the short term, but it's not really a long-term solution, right?
Yeah.
Staying connected. I mean, we have talked about this ad nauseum. It's social connection has been linked to so many health benefits. You got to stay connected with people. We live in a society where we're connected, but we're not connected.
Yeah.
And practicing self-compassion, we treat ourselves so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
We beat ourselves up. Women in particular, I think, are really good at just thinking about all the ways that they're falling short or not doing things well enough. I don't think men do that. I really am convinced they do not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they do that? You coach people.
No, I don't. I don't think so.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I just think we're wired differently. We're wired to be the nurturers and the people who take care of others. And it just is how the cards fell. But it's also on us to ask for help, because I do believe that when we just state what we need or state what we want, it's the people who care about us that around us who will step up, even if that person is, say, a spouse, you know, that you're like, why don't you help me with the laundry? And he's like, well, I guess you just hadn't asked, or like, you know, whatever. Just say what you need. Don't make it a thing.
I also think that men don't do that. Like, they aren't beating themselves up about where they fall short, but then they are also not asking people for help, whereas women will.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just interesting to see the dynamics play out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot can be learned from that.
Yeah. Before we close out, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
We talked about a lot of resilience building and how you can create an environment, but also incorporating in those practices like the cognitive behavioral therapy, breath work, that will help you mitigate your own stress. So that's what you can control within yourself. It's the things around you, like the people that you surround yourself, you get to make choices in those areas too. So
yeah,
I think, wisely.
Yeah. Identify what your stressors are, what's contributing to them, what you can do to change that environment, and then put those coping skills. Are you okay over there?
Yeah.
Put those coping skills in place.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.